So we want to learn Tosfos Avchok base on base. As I mentioned, I don't want to see the whole of Tosfos because Tosfos launches into a whole bunch of other sugyas. But the principle is very, very important. In fact, Ramesh Zedek, you brought up the question yesterday at the end of the shiur. We've discussed in the Gemara that there are two types of hefsek, or at least two lengths of hefsek. On occasion, you have a hefsek which is so long that you have enough time to finish the entire mitzvah, and then you'd have to go back to the beginning, and you have a hefsek which is just very brief. And if it's very brief, so then you just merely resume where you left off. That was the principle. If you remember, the way it related to us was when you had the Mirag line coming out, the discussion was maybe in fact the beginning of davening was also rendered unfit because even then he was in a state where he couldn't daven. That was a separate discussion. But otherwise, the Gemara says everybody would agree that if the pause was so long that you could have finished the entire davening in that time, then that is considered a significant hefsek and you'd have to go back to the beginning. You'd have to go back to the beginning. So the question now becomes, and this is what Tosfos deals with, and I'd like to see at least part of his Tosfos, is that indeed a general rule? Is that indeed a general rule? That whenever you stop in the middle of a mitzvah, I've always got to now set my stopwatch and time how long the gap is, and if indeed the gap is as long as it takes to mekayim the entire mitzvah, then you've got to begin the mitzvah all over again. Is that the general rule? And I think we already made mention yesterday, the problem that this poses is we know that it's not the general rule. And the example we gave yesterday is Tekiyah Shofar. Min HaTorah, you actually only have to hear 9 koilos. Now, how long does it take to blow 9 koilos? 1 minute. And yet the Gemara clearly says that if you hear those 9 koilos over the course of an entire day, that's absolutely fine. Even though you're having an hour's break in between every koil. At 8 o'clock in the morning, you heard the tekiah, and an hour later at 9 o'clock, you heard the shvar. And then at 10 o'clock, you heard the next tekiah. Well, clearly, in between each koil, there was a huge hefsek. So why don't you have to go back to the beginning of the mitzvah? That's the big question that we are facing. So have a look at the Tosfos Chof Beis on the base. It's the third Tosfos on the page, Dibur HaMaschil Elo. Dibur HaMaschil Elo. Now, we're not going to go from the beginning of Tosfos makes a cheshbon. Go to the first word on the fifth line of that Tosfos. On the sixth line where Tosfos says, Vatema. You have that word, Vatema. Tosfos says, this is a wonder. Very, very shver. Why? Dibamasechtas Rosh Hashanah. This is what we mentioned before. In Masechus Rosh Hashanah, with regard to Tekiyah Shofar, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, it says, Shoma Tesha Tekiyos. If you heard 9 Shofar blasts, Betes Shois, over the course of 9 hours, Vayoyim, Yotza, you are Yotza the Mitzvah. 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, etc., etc., your entire Mitzvah took the course of 9 hours. And the Gemara says, absolutely no problem, you're Yotzei. So what do you see? Says Tosfos, Alma, we see from over here, Tekiyos Mitztarefos. What does that mean, Mitztarefos? What does it mean to be Mitztaref? They join together. Like 10 people are Mitztaref for a minion, Tziruf. You see that the Tekiyos are Mitztaref. Afalgav, even though, Deshoho, even though he paused, Kedei Lasois Kulam. Even though he definitely paused enough time to do all of them. Like we said, how long does it take to blow 9 koilos of the shofar? Maybe 1 minute. Well, he definitely has gaps in between the kolos of more than a minute, which means that his shihiyah, his pause, was long enough to mekayim the entire mitzvah. So why indeed are those kolos mitzareis?
Is it a hesach hadash issue?
Yes. Yeah. The chayre is an issue of hesach hadash, quite right. So the yardstick of hesach hadash was, did you take your mind off the mitzvah for as long as it would take to mekayim the entire mitzvah? Well, clearly, if you blow 9 kolos over the course of 9 hours, well, obviously, the gaps are enormous. And that's definitely a gap in which you could be mekayim the whole mitzvah. So how are they mitzvahs? Just like in tefillah, in the case of Meiragdaim, what did we say? That, remember, what happened? He began davening and he got halfway through and then he had to stop. So how long does it take to daven Shmona Esra? For argument's sake, 10 minutes. So if Meiragdaim was being shaitis and he had to stop for 10 minutes, then he cannot resume where he left off. He's got to go all the way back to the beginning, which is another way of saying that if he would merely continue from where he left off, he would not be yotzei. Why not? Because the first half of the Shmoneh Esra and the second half of the Shmoneh Esra are not mitzvahs. They cannot combine forces because there's too much of a barrier of a hefsek in between. So therefore, this becomes a big question. If your tefillah, part one and part two, cannot be mitzvah when there's a very big gap, so how does your tekiya shofar, why are those kolos mitzvah? Surely there too, you had a very big gap. V'chein b'megillah. So one question we have is from Tekiya Shofar. Next question we have, very similar type of question, is from Megillah. What would be, again, how long does it take to read the Megillah on Purim? So for argument's sake, I guess it depends on which shul you daven. If you daven in the Gros shul, about an hour and a half, I would have thought. But in a normal shul, let's say 35 minutes, 40 minutes. So if it takes 40 minutes to read the Megillah, so what's the halacha now if you read half the Megillah and then you then go for a walk for 2 hours and then you then come back and you read the second half of the Megillah? So based on what we've learned in our Gemara, l'chayra, you should not be yotzei the mitzvah because Megillah part one and Megillah part two should not be mitzvah. Why should they not be mitzvah? Because the gap was so long. A 2-hour gap is long enough to mekayim the entire mitzvah. That's l'chayra what should emerge from our Gemara. And guess what? The Gemara says in Megillah, the opposite, that you are yotzei. Says Tosfos, v'chein b'megillah. In the case of Megillah, nami, the omrinom, we say there, Omar Rav. Rav says the following. I have to read this in one breath. Ein halacha k'rabi muna. The halacha does not follow the position of Rav Muna. And what did Rav Muna say? The Omar, Rav Muna said, guess what? Im shoho, if you pause, choyza l'roish. If you pause, meaning you pause a very long time, Rav Muna said, you've got to go back, which sounds like exactly what our Gemara says. And yet the Gemara there says, Ein halacha, that is not the halacha. So Rav Muna actually does fit in with our Gemara. Because Rav Muna also said that if you have a very lengthy pause, then you've got to go back to the beginning. And yet the Gemara said in the name of Rav, Ein halacha. We do not paskin like that. Why not? Says Tosfos, quoting the Gemara. The Kamar Nekoit. The Rav Bibi b'yodcha. Rav Bibi, he argued, and Rav Bibi said that even if it's a very lengthy pause, you do not have to go back. Nekoit, hold on to Rav Bibi b'yodcha in your hands. What does that mean, hold on to Rav Bibi in your hands? Another way of saying, go for that opinion. So Rav clearly tells you, it's a machloikas between Rav Muna and Rav Bibi. And Rav Bibi says that even if you have a very lengthy pause, you do not need to go back. And what did Rav say? Grab hold onto that opinion. It's true, Rav Muna disagreed, we don't paskin like Rav Muna. So now we're very, very stuck. It would seem to be that both in the case of Tkiya Shofar and in the case of Megillah, la halacha, even if there was a very lengthy pause, so much so that you could, in theory, have been mekayim the entire mitzvah in that time, no problem at all. Part one is mitzvah to part two, and you simply resume where you left off. So if you're in the middle of Tkiya Shofar, you can have a 5-hour gap, and then you blow the remaining part of your 9 kolos at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, no problem at all. Or the second half of your Kriyas Megillah, you had a 4-hour gap, no problem at all. By the way, I think I mentioned this yesterday, I actually had this Shaila Halacha Lemaisa on Purim. Remember I mentioned to you, somebody was in jail, he managed to get hold of the Megillah, he began reading, the Megillah then got taken away from him. He calls me up, he says, I hope to get the Megillah back, but if I do, it'll be maybe tonight if I'm lucky, in another couple of hours. What would be the halacha? That's mamish this shayla. Clearly then, we're talking about a very lengthy gap. If he gets hold of the Megillah, it'll be 11 o'clock at night if he's lucky. So will he have to go back to the beginning, or will he simply resume from where he left off? So we have a bit of a spear on our hands. Kriya Shema, the Gemara Bayah says, a lengthy pause sends you back to the beginning, i.e. part one and part two are not mitzvahs. And yet in the case of Tkiya Shofar and in the case of Megillah, we seem to see the opposite. That's the big question. Can anybody think of a distinction? Ramesh Shazalek, I think you already hinted to the distinction yesterday. There is a simple, fundamental distinction between our case of Kriya Shema on the one hand, as opposed to Tkiya Shofar and Megillah on the other hand. In other words, will a lengthy pause send you all the way back to the beginning? It depends. What does it depend on? Can anybody suggest what it may depend on? If not, let's see Tosfos. Tosfos tells it to us. Says Tosfos, V'oimer hasar mikutzi. Said the sar mikutzi. Here is the distinction. The yesh lechalek. One needs to differentiate. The shani hocha. Over here, where's here? With regard to Kriya Shema Miraglayim, it is different. Why is Kriya Shema different to Megillah and Tkiya Shofar? Three-word answer. The Ein Ra'u Likrois. It's not that he didn't read, it's that he couldn't read. There is a huge distinction, says Tosfos, between where you didn't continue the mitzvah as opposed to when you halachically couldn't continue the mitzvah. In the case of Megillah, I'm not talking about my shayla, the fellow in jail. A guy reads halfway through the Megillah and then he fancies sitting down for a while and going for a walk. It's not that he couldn't continue with the Megillah, rather he didn't. Whereas in the case of Kriya Shema Bayas, he didn't decide voluntarily to stop his davening in the middle. Not that he didn't continue. He couldn't continue. You're not allowed to daven in a state like that. That's real hesachadas. You're completely, your mind has taken off the mitzvah completely. Why? Because you are absolutely incapable, halachically, of fulfilling the mitzvah. So obviously you take your mind off. Phenomenal terror to the Sarmi Kutsi. Everything is answered. We need to make a distinction. The Shani Hocha, the Ein Ra'u Likrois. The key word there is Ein Ra'u. Not that he didn't continue reading, but rather he couldn't continue reading.
So that's not necessarily a Hesach Hadas. He can still have the das that he wants to do it. He's just not Roy to do it. It's not like he fell asleep.
Yeah, that's good for the Chiddush. That's the Chiddush of the Sarah Mikutzi. Something that you are incapable of doing, you're not actually allowed to do, then a lengthy pause is considered Hesach Hadas. Even if the guy is mumbling to himself the whole time, Krishma, 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 is all he's thinking about, but that's considered a halachic Hesach Hadas. A halachic Hesach Hadas, you are removed from the mitzvah. You are removed from the mitzvah. V'chein lekamon, and so to later on, this whole principle of a hesach hadas, and a hesach is going to be another sugya later on in Daf Chof Dalet, that talks about there, the Rebbe Avohu Ozal b'muvo'ois hamutunofois, in a dirty alleyway. What's the halacha? Again, it's very, very similar to what we're dealing with. Imagine you're in the middle of saying Kriyat Shema as you are walking down the street, and then all of a sudden you find yourself in a muvois mutunofois, in a place, for example, where there's tsoya. So you have to stop. Ah, there it's not that you didn't read Kriyat Shema, rather you couldn't. You weren't halachically allowed to say Kriyat Shema in a place like that. Ah. So then, a lengthy pause is problematic. The Hossam says, Toysvers, over there, when you're walking through a place which is dirty, Kula Alma Maida, then everybody would agree, the Chayzer Leroish. You've definitely got to go back to the beginning. That's exactly the same as the Kriya Shema story with Meir Aglaim. Havol, that's one side of the coin. Now we come back to Shofar and Megillah. Avol, Heicha de Gavra Chazi. But where the person is in a fit state, Chazi means he is fit, he's Ra'u. Where the person himself is in a fit state to continue. Kamoi Megillah the Shofar. Nobody said that he stopped Megillah because of Meir Aglaim. Nobody said he stopped Megillah because he was walking in a dirty place. So why did he stop Megillah? Because he fancied having a break in the middle. Or in the shofar. Why did he blow shofar 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock? Because that's what he did. But not because he could not halachically continue with the shofar. So over there, the gavra is chazi. What does it mean, the gavra is chazi? The person is fit. Fit meaning halachically. He's halachically fit to be Mekayim the Mitzvah. K'moy Megillah v'Shofar. So then the opposite. Kula alma moidu. There everybody would agree. The Einoi Chayzer l'Roish. There you do not need to go back to the beginning, even though it was a very lengthy pause. Elo l'mokoim shepotak. Rather, you simply go back to wherever you stopped. The rest of places, we're going to leave. So this is a fundamental question with a fundamental answer. Now, Rabotai, this now presents us, I think, with a fascinating question. The Sar Mikutzi has made a very, very clear distinction. Very logical and understandable distinction. Is it that he didn't continue or that he couldn't continue? In the case of Meir Aglaim or in the case of Muvois Mutunofois, he actually was not allowed to continue. That's called the Gavra, the person is not Chazi. So there, a lengthy pause represents a big hefsek. as opposed to Megillah b'shofar, where there he just fancied having a break. But it wasn't that he was halachically incapacitated, as it were. He was not allowed to continue. He was allowed to continue. In which case, we now have to ask ourselves a fascinating question. And this question is absolutely expressed in the shaila that I mentioned to you before. Somebody is in jail and he starts reading the Megillah, and then the Megillah gets taken away from him for 3 hours. And 3 hours later, he managed to recover the Megillah. Does he go back to the beginning or not? Why is this a $64 million question? Because on the one hand, there was no halachic obstacle. It's not that he wasn't allowed to read the Megillah. It's just that he couldn't. But the reason why he couldn't was not because of halachic considerations, but rather because of practical considerations. He simply doesn't have a Megillah. So is that called Gavra Chozi or Gavra Loi Chozi? The two examples that the Sarim Yikutzi mentioned, number one, our Gemara in Meiraglaim, number two, Rav Avohu in the Muvois HaMutunofois, that was not a practical restriction, that was a halachic restriction. Not that you couldn't practically because you lost your siddur, because you're not actually allowed halachically to say Kriya Shema in this state, because of Meiraglaim, because of the dirty. That's called Gavra Lo Yechozi. In other words, if you go back to the shofar case, you're allowed to blow shofar 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. Yes, but what happens if your shofar gets stolen for an hour in the middle? Can you also combine 7 o'clock with 8 o'clock? Over there, you could not blow for an hour, but not for halachic reasons. Just for practical reasons. That's not clear in this thesis. And that's a separate discussion. So this person actually called me up. Yeah, sorry?
Just one quick question on the lengthy pause. Is there a standard, or is it always shaykh to the mitzvah you're doing? Because like Shmon Esrei is shorter than the...
It's shaykh to the mitzvah you're doing and to the person in question. So two people might have a pause. For one, it's considered a hefsika, one not. If you daven a 20-minute Shmona Esra, then that's one thing. If someone daven a 3-minute Shmona Esra, then that's different. So on that Purim night, a few weeks ago, when he asked me this question, this was a very, very difficult shaila to paskin. So I called my uncle, as I do, difficult shailas Rav Zanga, and he was going into this whole process, a lengthy pause, not a lengthy pause, he couldn't, he wouldn't, he didn't. He called me back later on, so he looked into it again. And the next week, he emailed me in a 10-page share that he gave on this shaila. Every week he gives a share on a halachic shaila. He gave a whole share based on the shaila. It's extremely complicated. But now we can see and appreciate the beauty of this shaila. It wasn't much comfort to the person in jail. But Lemaitre was a beautiful shaila. On the one hand, he could not continue reading the Megillah. On the other hand, it's not for halachic considerations, rather practical considerations. So that we would need to look for proofs. And l'chaira, we do not have any proof from our thesis. Because we don't know what would be the case of when you blew shofar at 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock, but the shofar got stolen in the middle. We don't know. Either way, a very, very beautiful place. Okay, so let's make a...
It does say the Ein Roy
question. Yeah, but that's the question. Again, I can only translate that in accordance with the examples that we are discussing. Ein Ro'u there is because of Tsoya or because of Meiraglaim. So maybe Ein Ro'u therefore has to be translated as halakhically unfit, but not practically unfit. That's the big question. Okay, let's make a start for the next Gemara. Says the Gemara on the Chof Gimel Omud Aleph. We're on the first wide line, the very first wide line. Says the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanon, Hanitzrach Lenakovov. Somebody who needs to relieve himself. You know, maybe we should pause for a moment and just appreciate the very important Hashkafic principle over here. We know that our language is called Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh. There is a machloikus between the Rambam and the Ramban. Why is our language called Lashon HaKodesh? What's Kodesh about it? One opinion is there are no vulgar words whatsoever in our language. If you think about it, any words which is to do with anything that we might consider vulgar, for example, even the sugi that we're learning now, meiraglayim, translate literally meiraglayim, water of the legs. It's all beremes. Tsoya, what does tsoya mean? Excrement? That's not what tsoya means. Tsoya means exit, right? Like lotseis or yitzia, because it's something that exits the guf. So all words to do with anything that might be considered vulgar are always beremes. Always beremes. So here you have another classic example. Hanitzrach lenakovov. What's literal translation? Literal translation of lenakovov. A nakev, as we know, is a hole. Hanitzrach lenakovov, as you literally translate, and I hope art scrolls do not translate it like this, is hanitzrach, if it's necessary, lenakovov, for his hole. H-O-L-E. That's a very vague expression. That is why this language is Lashon HaKodesh. Because what it really does mean is, there is a hole in the guf from which meiraglayim emerges, hanitzrach lenakovov. That's what it means. But that's why this language is Lashon HaKodesh. And if you think about it, there are, in English, you have a word, a toilet. What is the Hebrew word for toilet? Beis HaKisei. What does Beis HaKisei mean? A house with a chair. A house with a chair is Beis HaKisei. There are no words which describe graphically anything which is considered, as it were, unbecoming or vulgar. A Beis HaKisei, a house with a chair. In English, you just call it a toilet, but there's no word for toilet in the Hebrew language. That's why it's Lashon HaKodesh. That's the beauty of Lashon HaKodesh. And if you think about it, the examples are endless because there is not a single exception to this rule. It's a rule without any exceptions. All words, all concepts of this nature, the word to describe them is only a hint, but it doesn't actually picture, it doesn't capture what we're talking about. Okay, so Hanitzrach Lenakovov. Somebody needs to relieve himself. That is the, I can't say the translation, but that's what this word means. If somebody, this is very, very negei halacha lemaisa. If somebody needs to relieve himself, al yispalel, he should not daven. You are not supposed to daven in a state of feeling that you need to relieve yourself. And not only that, ve'im hispalel, and if he did daven, tfilosoi te'evo. Once again, his davening would be considered an abomination, which means he has not davened, and he'd have to go over davening all over again. Now, obviously, this at the moment is a little bit vague, because this needs definition. What does that mean, hanitzrach lenakovov? There are obviously various stages and levels of urgency. He feels he needs to go, what, now? You can wait 10 minutes, you can wait half an hour. How needy is needy? And that's going to be the discussion in the next line of the Gemara, which Be'ez Hashem will begin tomorrow. So again, I apologize, it was just an emergency for the late start tomorrow. Hopefully, a punctual start tomorrow.
Have a wonderful day.
Have a great day.
Well, have a good day.
Shkaya, Father, for your little comment at the end of yesterday's round.
Thank you. Glad the Rav got it.
Okay. Call to